How many of you could sing that song? Could every Christian sing that song? Every one of us who are members of the body of Christ can sing that song. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to labor in His kingdom. I want to labor in His vineyard. I want to be involved. And it doesn't make any difference what position I have. It doesn't make any difference about anything. Every single day that I get up, all I'm asking is, God, lead me into Your service, in Your kingdom, in Your way. God, help me to serve today. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those of the household of faith. A couple of weeks ago, my grandkids came to see me. And I had a three-year-old named Walker, and he can't sit still for anything, but I made him sit still one day, and we were going to work a puzzle. It was all these different farm animals with different shapes and things, and you put, there was a place where each one was supposed to go to fit that the farm. And I would give it to him, and he was just all busy wanting to do other things, but I made him try to work that puzzle, and he would take that pig, and he would try to put it where the cow is. And he would position that, and I say, no, it goes over here, and he, mm-mm. And he was just making sure that he was, you know, didn't make any difference. He was going to make that try to fit there. He was trying to put a square peg into a round hole. Now, a little kid, that's cute. But that's not cute when it comes to adults. We who have grown up and we have common sense about us, we know you can't put a square peg into a round hole. But sometimes we try anyway, don't we? But what I'm trying to suggest to you that is that God has made us all unique. He's made us all different. Every single one of us have a disposition or an attitude or a talent that God has made with us. I mean, did you ever see any difference between the Apostle Paul and Timothy? If you were to bring those two and stand them side by side, knowing what you know about both of them, are they made of exactly the same pattern? No, they're different. Paul would have been a lot more bold. Timothy would have been a little more timid. They were different things. What about James and John, who Jesus named what? The sons of thunder. And you try to compare that with I remember him trying to find Nathanael. And Nathanael, he said, here was a man without guile. And I just saw the difference between James and John and Nathanael. They were all called to the apostleship, but they were of different personalities. Matthew would have been different than Judas and so forth. But it's interesting as we think about our position here, our position in the kingdom of God. God has made us all to have a place in this kingdom. What was the very first song we sang this morning? There is room in God's kingdom for you, my brother, for the small things that you can do. A small kindly deed, a cup of cold water in His name given. When I think about what God has done, take your Bible, please, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to show you something before we get to our ultimate text. It's in Matthew 20. If you're looking at your outline, you'll know we're heading there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at beginning at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members how? Individually. But now notice the next verse. And God has appointed these in the church. First, who? Apostles. Now think about, before you read any further, Jesus is walking along on the coast of the Sea of Galilee, and there's four guys named Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Were they sitting there asking Jesus when they saw him, hey, can we be apostles in your kingdom? They weren't even giving thought to that. They didn't know it. They didn't see the kingdom coming. Jesus called them and put them into this position. Look at the second one. when he says, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, who? Prophets. Barnabas and Timothy and men like that. And then third, he has teachers. Apollos and men like that. And after that, miracles, and then gifts of healings and helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And then he asks a rhetorical question. Obvious, in other words, in the asking. Are all apostles? What's the answer? No. Are all the prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers in miracles and so forth? And the answer is obviously a resounding no. Not everybody has the same position in the kingdom. But as you keep reading the text, he leads to verse 31 and he says, but earnestly desire the greatest gifts. And what would they be? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Can you have those? All of us can have that. And he's saying the body of Christ, he's been arguing in 1 Corinthians here, the body of Christ is made up of all kinds. They had got into the mindset of arguing that tongue speakers were greater than prophets. And Paul was just shaking his head saying, you guys, that's ridiculous. God put these people in these positions. They didn't even go ask for them. God put apostles here, prophets here, teachers here, miracle workers here, and you're going along and arguing who's going to be better than somebody else? And he's saying, no, that's not how it works. Remember back in Ephesians? Over in Ephesians, remember in chapter 4? He gave gifts to the church. Remember what those first five were? They were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he leads all the way down to verse 16 to where everybody, each part does its share to the building up, to the edification, to the growth of the church. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a part to play. God, in the spiritual sense, in the roles of the church, comes along and he handpicks who he wants. You don't go asking or applying for the position. It doesn't come to you. God puts there who he wants in that position. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But then we come over to Romans chapter 12. Take your Bible back to Romans chapter 12. I want to start reading about verse 4 and go all the way down to verse 18. Let's read this long text together, please. And here's where I want you to find yourself. As a preacher and as an elder in the church, one of the things I do when somebody is baptized, some of you know that this is true because I've gone to you, and I ask you, where are you in this text? And I'm going to tell you something, you're there. You're in this text. Every single one of you in some way is in this text. And I want you to find yourself in the text, and that's what I'm asking now. In Romans chapter 12, after telling us to give our bodies a living sacrifice and all of those things, he then says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually we're members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now these are not going to be spiritual gifts in that regard. He's going to bring up the word prophecy. But just the idea, find yourself here, he's saying. There's room in the kingdom for everybody. And we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that's been given to us, use them. If prophecy, prophesy in proportion to our faith. Ministry, let us use it to our ministering. Teaches in teaching. Exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, bless those who persecute you and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. Associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Did you find yourself there? There's room in the kingdom of God for workers who are loyal to Him and true. I will leave the shirkers, and the work thou hast planned, I'll do. I hope and pray that you found yourself in that text. Every single one of us have the servant mentality that we can be of service in the kingdom no matter what. Whatever title there might be or anything like that that somebody might think of as that. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I want you to look here before we go to Matthew. 1 Peter chapter 4, this brings out the phrase that I'm looking for in my study this morning. In 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 10. He says, as each one has received a gift. You found yourself, remember? Truly, truly, you have found yourself here, right? As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. So whatever you found in Romans 12, now he says, get busy. Minister it to one another. Here's the phrase I'm looking for. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Why? That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. My lesson this morning is about being good stewards of whatever it is God has blessed you to be. I hope and I pray fervently that every one of you know the gift that you've been given. A lot of people don't know that. They don't think about that. They say, what can I do? I can't do that, that, and that. And so they limit themselves and then they suppress whatever it is they've got given to them by God and they don't do it. And I'm here to tell you, if this church is going to be what God wants it to be, every single one of you, we can't have somebody dragging their foot. If you're the foot and you're dragging it, then the rest of us are dragging too. If everybody's involved, if you've been understanding what your gift is, and now you're willing to give it, whatever that is, you're willing to give it to the kingdom, then the church will grow. Are you a good steward of what God has given you? That, of course, leads to the sermon that Jesus gives us in Matthew 25 about the parable of the talents. And He's going to bring you to account for the talent that you have, the gift that you have, and He's going to say, what did you do with it? And you're going to maybe say, I didn't know I had a gift. He's going to say, oh yeah, you did. Remember that sermon that Rick preached? You've got the gift. What are you going to do with it? And I'm going to hold you accountable for it, that you drug the kingdom back instead of going forward. No, we all have a gift, and let's all use it. Now I want to turn over to Matthew 20 for the last part of our lesson this morning. In Matthew chapter 20, just verses 20 through 28 is a powerful lesson that Jesus gives to these apostles. Back in chapter 19, in verse 28, they were arguing who was the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus said, and Peter had then said, the rich young ruler walked away and he didn't give his money to the poor and so forth. But he says, Jesus, we've left all and followed you. What do we get? And Jesus turns in verse 28 and says, I'm going to give you 12 thrones. And you could just see the inflation of their ego. We're going to get thrones. We're going to be like rulers. We're going to get crowns. And Jesus says, yes, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Man, this is great. And they're thinking, they're hearing crowns, but they're not seeing what he says next. The first shall be what? Last, and the last shall be first. He finished chapter 19 by saying that, and he launches into this parable, and at the end of chapter 20, verse 16, he says, and the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. They're hearing crowns. He's saying crosses before the crown. They're not hearing that. Selective hearing. It's like I am with Benita many times. Very selective hearing. He starts in verse 20 and 21 of this reading. He says, now I got to explain some things to you guys. And so in chapter 20 and in verse 20, he says these words. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, James and John, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, permit that these two sons of mine, James and John, may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. Now they've been hearing these words, getting crowns, and so everybody's going to get a crown, everybody's going to be a ruler, everybody's going to be this big guy in the kingdom. And she says, but I want my sons to have the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense positions. I want them to have the top cabinet positions in your kingdom. One of the things I want you to see about being a good steward here, you see it in the outline perhaps. When I come into the kingdom, we're talking here about service. Check your motives. I want you to think about what is your motive. These guys had jealousy on their hearts. They wanted to be above the other 10. They had pride in their hearts. Their motives were not correct. And what Jesus is going to have to teach them is humility. And so when you come into a position, whether it's an elder, whether it's a deacon, whatever it is that you're doing in the kingdom, what is your motive? Why are you're asking yourself, why am I doing it and who am I doing it for? Why am I doing this? Again, they heard crowns and Jesus was emphasizing crosses. They wanted to hear one thing, they didn't want to hear the other. And so the question is, who am I in this for? Why am I doing? Whether I'm an elder, a preacher, a deacon, a song leader, a Bible class teacher, a parent, an employer, whatever it is that God has put you in a position to be, what's your motive? Who are you doing this for? In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And he finishes by saying, for you serve the Lord Christ. Paul, and this elite apostle, is saying, I'm only in it for one reason and one reason only. I become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. I'm in this thing in order to serve my Lord Jesus Christ. And God put them in the church first, apostles. And yet, here's the apostle saying, I'm only in this for one reason. God put me in this position, but my motive is to serve the Lord Christ. I think everybody in this room probably understands that. So, as we keep reading the text, in verses 22 and 23, Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? Be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said what? Yeah, we can do that. I'm sure Jesus is shaking his head. And he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. In other words, that position is not available. But it is for those whom it is prepared for by my Father. God chooses where everybody's going to be. My Father, and I'm just simply here to do my Father's will. And He's already put out all the positions. It's not mine to give. The point is, that position's already been taken. The position of being great in the kingdom has already been taken. Only one sits on that seat, and that's Jesus. But one of the things he's going to try to teach them here is, guys, you're asking for something you don't understand what you're asking for. You say, as you raise your hand, I'm able to do that. He says, you don't know what you're asking. He's telling them, yes, can you be baptized? Can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And of course, what's Jesus referring to? Suffering, death, crucifixion, torture, beatings. And he says, yes, you can drink that cup. And you can be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I'm about to be baptized with. You indeed are going to exactly do that. By becoming apostles, you're going to get what I get. And if you think it's me as a king sitting on a throne and everybody's bowing down to me and everything's just great, and you think that's what you're getting, think again. When you see me on that cross, you'll know that that's your destiny too. In other words, he's saying, expect difficulty. Expect in positions of leadership, in positions where you're before others, parents, in a position that you have over your children. When I was a kid, I really wanted to be the parent so I could tell the kid to sit down and shut up. I really wanted to be the parent. And I wanted to be able to take my parents and lay them over my lap and spank them. Couldn't do that as a kid. But then I became an adult. I had that power. But then also then you get with that the responsibility that comes with it and the pressure that comes with that. And you're going to hear from the kids what you used to say to your parents. Oh, Dad, grow up. Dad, everybody's doing it. With responsibility is going to come difficulties. In every leadership position that there is, whether you're an employer at a job, whether you are a parent over children, whether you're a preacher or an elder or a deacon or whatever it might be, whatever position you've been given, you're going to be criticized. Bank on it. You're going to have people who are not going to agree with your positions. They're not going to like some of the things that you do. When you take on a role of leadership, expect some difficulty. That is just going to be part and parcel to what it is. What happened to James? Remember what happened to James? When he said, yeah, I'm able to drink the cup that you drink, baptize the baptism you baptize, what happened to him? Acts chapter 12, he was killed by the sword. What happened to John? Remember what happened to John? When he said, yeah, I can drink that cup, what happened to him? He lived a lot longer than his brother, but he later wrote in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 9, they're suffering. I'm on the island of Patmos suffering for the word of God. Difficulties came because of the positions. There is a statement in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9 where Paul said about the apostleship, for I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. The apostles who had that first position in reality were last. The first shall be last. And that's what became of them. And so in other words, in any position of responsibility, when you're placed in a role, there's going to be some difficulties and you have to come to grips with that and accept it. Leads to the third point, verses 24 through 27, where he then goes on and says, and when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Greatly displeased, in other words, is indignant. Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. You remember the old cartoon Disney movie called Finding Nemo? You ever remember that show? And there was these birds that were out there. And it was the funniest part. It's the only thing about this show that I even liked. Mine, 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 mine. Remember that? And everything was mine, mine. You know, a crumb was thrown in there. It was mine. And I think about how sometimes the apostles and maybe those in the kingdom today are looking at, it's about me. What can I get? And of course, I don't think there's people in this church here that are thinking that way. I hope not anyway. I hope you're not, mine, 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 mine. Hope you're not thinking that way. But what the apostles were doing exactly that. As funny as it might be watching that movie and to think that's the apostles going, mine, 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 mine. The other 10 were indignant. And why were they upset? Was it because they were asking for that position? No, it's because they beat them to the punch. They wish they had a mother who would go to Jesus and say, would you put us in that position on the right and left in the kingdom? The great lesson on discipleship is we're not in this thing to look out for number one. It's not about me. And I think all of us who have been in the church for any length of time already well know that. That what we're doing here is, it shall not be so among you, Jesus said. He's talking about us, about the apostles and about all of us who followed. We who come into the kingdom, it's all about others, others, others. We don't say mine, 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 mine. We say you, 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 you. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? And everything is about that. If you follow along in Matthew's account, you saw the text. I think I've got them in the outline. I'm not sure if I put them there or not. In Matthew 16, 25, Jesus says, here's the mindset of this you, 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 you. Matthew 16, 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You lose your life in the kingdom. In chapter 18, verse 3, we had that in our Bible study in the high school class this morning. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as this little child, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 19, verse 21, Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Give yourself up, even all of your possessions. In chapter 19, verse 30, we've read that a moment ago, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And finally, in our text this day, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Do you see the trend in the Gospel of Matthew, which is a book about the kingdom, and it's about servants in the kingdom? And everything that Jesus is teaching in that book is about service, service, service. And you have this mindset, what can I do to serve? And the fourth thing about good stewardship that I like here is about my role model, and that's Jesus Christ, because verse 28 summarizes, and we summarize our lesson and conclude with this point. In verse 28, he said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's got to be, to those of us in the church, those who wear his name, that's got to be one of our favorite verses of the Bible. Because what we see in our Lord, who is our role model, he's our mentor, the Son of Man did not come to what? Be served. What did he come for? What was his whole motive in coming? It was to serve. And if you wear his name, what's your whole motive? Is to serve. You do understand that I'm preaching a sermon about deacons, because that's what we're doing here today. Robert's going to talk a little bit in just a few moments about how the elders think of things along this line. I'm telling you from a gospel preacher here, as I look at my Bible and I try to preach the word, I'm telling you, as we look at the text here in this thing, we see Jesus saying, I came to serve you. Can you get in your mind the picture of Jesus comes into this room, in this auditorium, and he starts in the back, and there's Ricardo, and there's Yvonne, and he starts washing your feet? What would you want to do? You'd want to say what Peter said. No, 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 you can't wash my feet. I need to be washing yours. And Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part in the kingdom. And you would say what Peter said, well, then give me a bath. But picture Jesus going row to row down the aisles, washing everybody's feet and saying, I came to serve. And I'm going to show you the ultimate service when you see me hang on that cross. How would you summarize Jesus' life? In Philippians 2, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself, emptied himself, and came down and died the death of on the cross. And he turns and he says to us, do thou likewise. I found a verse that I think summarizes how we are, thinking of us as elders or deacons or preachers or whoever it might be. Galatians 5:13 to me just summarized it. I was teaching Galatians, and Andy was teaching Galatians out in Buffalo. And this text just kind of jumped out at me for this lesson when it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. If that doesn't perfectly summarize the life of Christ, who had liberty in heaven, he was God, but he emptied himself, came to earth to serve me. And he says, Rick, do thou likewise. What you've seen in me, you go do. And if you do that, it won't be a square peg into a round hole. You'll be right in the position that I created you to be. If you do just simply what I've asked of you to do and serve in any position that I've asked you to serve and do anything that you're called and you have talents to achieve for the kingdom's sake, if you'll do that, I'll save your soul and you'll bless and save other people's souls. Through love, serve one another. You didn't hear me talk a lot about deacons. But what I want you to hear what I just said was, that's what a deacon is. Everything that I've said this morning is the role of a deacon. A lot of people have no idea what deacons are out in the denominational world and things. They hear deacons and they think one thing or another. A lot of people look even in the church and they say deacons are doing the physical stuff and the elders do the spiritual stuff. That's about as wrong can be. That's not true at all. Everything the elders have ever asked the deacons to do are spiritual services. A deacon's life is all about others. It might be planned service. What I was going to do today, I was going to actually read you the list of all the things that the elders asked deacons to do. That would take up a little too much time. But what I wanted you to do is to think about, there's categories called evangelism, building, security, benevolence, audiovisual, and there's a bunch of others here. You might say, well, that's physical. No. What if we didn't have a PA system? We wouldn't be able to preach and do the things some of the things do. What if we didn't have a nice building? What if there's a lot of things that all lead to a spiritual outcome. And what we're trying to get you to see is there's planned services that we ask deacons to do, but there's also, and here's where it goes, there's impromptu or unplanned services. And that is why a deacon becomes a deacon. Because what he has is a mind to work. What he has is a mind to serve. And all he wants to do is use me in the kingdom. There's room and now I've got Romans 12 in my mind. I see what God gave me the gift to do and I'm just going to go do it. And he does that and all of a sudden over the course of days, months, and then years, the congregation then looks out among us and said, you know, that guy's a worker. That guy's a servant. That guy, he is, and his wife, they are just really loving the kingdom. They want to serve here. They want to do whatever God has put them in a position to do. Their mentality is, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to the household of faith. And so they're about their Father's business. What I want to do at this time in our service, I'm through with the sermon. What I want you to do is to think with me just for a second about the deacons that you know here, the deacons maybe that you've known in the past, and who we're going to appoint this morning. What we're going to do, we're going to have all the present deacons, not the new ones, but the present deacons, come forward and stand up here. Please come now. Okay, they're all here. Good. And I think of Andy and Claire, Bob and Sandy, Peter and Jennifer, Adam and Leanne, Bob and Kim, Nate and Jenna, Jay and Megan. You guys know them. You helped put them in this position. They're not here for honor. They're not here, and I'm sure they won't even want to be standing here, but I'm making them. But I want you to know what you did in selecting these men. The reason this church is doing so well and growing is because of men like this who have a mind to work, and they have served this kingdom. But we need more. And so we looked out among us, and we said, we need more guys. You might think, well, seven, that's enough. Yeah, seven's a perfect number, right? That's enough. No, it's not enough. Believe me, from the elders' viewpoint, it ain't near enough. We got so much work that we still, and we're overburdening these guys. And so we said we need more deacons. And you selected them. The four men that I'm asking now to come up, Nick, Michael, Brett, and Dave, please do that now. Make room, guys. Get them up here. Nick and his wife, Stacy. Michael and his wife, Courtney. Brett and Christina. And Dave and Vicki. I want you to see what God is doing here. This is powerful to me. These men are embarrassed to be here, but I'm making them do it, and the elders want them to do it, so that you can know there are people who, when they sing those songs, there's room in God's kingdom. And I want to be a worker for the Lord. They mean it, and they've served the kingdom, and you've recognized it. And I think this is so important. This is so powerful that you see with your physical eye and feel with your heart that there are people here that are servants, first, last, and always. And they want you to go to heaven. And whatever God asks them to do and the talents that God has blessed them with, they will do it. So in the long run, in the big picture, when you go to heaven, these guys help get you there by the little things, the small things that they could do. We're going to ask Terry, if he would, to come up and say a prayer on behalf of these guys now. They'll be followed by Robert, and then I'll do an invitation.
Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed so grateful this day. We're thankful for the blessings of being together. We're thankful for this special time to appoint and install the new deacons. We're grateful for them and their families. We're mindful of the gifts that they possess. And as the Apostle Paul told the young preacher Timothy, we would echo the comments of cautioning them not to neglect the gift that's in them, rather to meditate on these things and give themselves entirely to them, to take heed to themselves and to the doctrine, and to continue in them, for in doing this, they will save both themselves and those that hear them. We're mindful of the physical gifts that each possess and the blessing that they can be when they share those with others. We're mindful of the spiritual work that is here to be done. We pray that each of them would put their hearts and minds into it so that others would be brought into your kingdom, Lord. We're thankful for Nick and Stacy and Michael and Courtney, Brett and Christina and Dave and Vicki, and the blessing they've been to this congregation to this point and the blessing that they will be for the future. We're also grateful for those deacons that have been appointed in the past and the blessing that they've been to this congregation and continue to be. We're mindful that leaders sometimes best can lead when followers are good followers. And we pray that indeed all of those in this congregation would be have a mind for the work, have a mind for souls, and that would more would be added in this local body, Lord. We pray this day that you bless this congregation, bless all those that have an interest in the growth and strength of it. We pray that you, again, a special blessing on these new deacons, their wives, their families. We pray ultimately, Lord, that you would be glorified. It's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Get to speak on the behalf of the elders, quite an honor. So let me begin by, again, thanking the congregation. I want you to know that, again, you voiced your support for these men, but there were a number in this congregation that may not have reached that threshold, but we do appreciate so much this congregation and all of those that are working. It was mentioned in the opening prayer. It was mentioned in Rick's lesson. Our congregation, I travel again, and I've been having the opportunity to visit a number of congregations. And I recently had a conversation with a deacon at a congregation that really one level, one auditorium, number of classrooms, they can't find people to clean the building. We have in this congregation individuals who dedicate themselves to cleaning this auditorium, the upstairs, the downstairs, and I was looking at the volunteer list out there. It's pretty much full for the rest of the year. So we are truly blessed to have this congregation who are so engaged. We are a family, and we continue to demonstrate our willingness to work together. So I want to thank each and every member of this congregation for that. I would also like to thank each of the men who volunteered, indicated a willingness to serve as deacons. It is, again, something that we understand if we read the scriptures, and I'm going to just, if you want to follow along, read from Matthew 9, verse 36 through 38. And this is a comment of Jesus after he's done so many miracles. He's feeling compassion for people. And he, in verse 36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, I beseech you, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." And as Rick said, a lot of the things that deacons are involved in and responsible for may seem physical, but the intent is for us to reach out to our community, to share the gospel, to share the good news that the Lord's kingdom may continue to grow. We are a congregation. We are serving the Lord together. And again, as Rick pointed out in his, each of us have a role, whether it's elders, deacons, or individual members. I've got another little bit longer passage I'd like to read that kind of emphasizes this and kind of repeats a little bit of what Rick said with regard to sometimes we get our egos and our pride gets in the way. But in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 32, I'm going to read through 45. They were all on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise again." James and John and the two sons of Zebedee came up to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right hand and my left hand, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John, calling them to himself. And Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So, again, on behalf of the elders, I want to thank every member of this congregation. And I'd also, I know we've had a number of prayers, but I'd ask that we all go to pray, that we can continue to work together in unity and give honor and glory to our Lord and Savior. So, if you would, let us pray. Our almighty, all-loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed recognize that you have blessed us beyond measure. And we pray that as we reflect on the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, help us to understand the opportunities we have to serve you through serving others, and that, again, we can be engaged in the work in whatever capacity you have provided us. Help us to look beyond ourselves and be willing to share the good news with our neighbors and those that we work with. We understand that it is the good news, the message that brings salvation to mankind. And help us to be a reflection of the love that you've shown each one of us as we walk daily and strive to live our lives in unity with one another and ultimately with Christ Jesus. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.
Let's close with an invitation. You know, the Bible talks about, concerning deacons, "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Take the word deacon out of that and just put you. "For those who have served well as Christians obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith." Those who serve obtain for themselves a great standing and boldness in the faith. If you're not a Christian, what are you waiting for? Can I just ask that one more time? If you're not a Christian and you're of age, and you're accountable, and you've heard the gospel, you know what the truth is, what are you waiting for? I'm just simply asking you, today could be your day. Yes, we've talked about the deacons, we've talked about servants and so forth, but Jesus came to give his life for you. Can you not give your life for him? Begin this life of service this morning. And saying, I want to tell Jesus thank you for serving me in the way that he did. And I want to say it thank you, not just in my words, but now in my life. I want to render my and surrender my life in obedience to him. And I want to be baptized for the remission of my sins. And I want to live my life in service to my Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that? What are you waiting for? While we stand, while we sing.
Me so.